Turn in our Bibles this evening to 1 Kings in the chapter 19. 1 Kings in the chapter 19. And can I say thank you again to Peter for his ministry and song to us. It's good to see each one out tonight, despite the inclemency of the weather and the big black clouds that threatened overhead and the wind that howls, but I'm glad you're here. We pray that the Lord will bless each of us, even as we come to His Word. And as He, even through His Word, speaks into each of our hearts. 1 Kings in the chapter 19, let's enter into the chapter at the first verse. We're continuing this series, of course, in the Gospel through the Scripture, and so we come to the book of 1 Kings this evening. And the Word of God says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness off Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mohil, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. It shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence." Ending our reading there at the verse 19 of the chapter. We noted, of course, that the books of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel are characterized by two main central characters, David and King Saul. But coming in then to the books of the kings, we see not only are they focused upon the lives and the days of the reigns of many different kings, in the days whenever the southern and the northern kingdoms were in existence, but also two prophets by the name of Elijah and Elisha. As we come to consider Elijah tonight, we come to consider one of the most intriguing characters in the Bible. If you know anything about the chapter that precedes this chapter 19, you know that he will have been found there on top of Mount Carmel and prayed down fire from heaven as the prophets of Baal gathered there with him also. But here in chapter 19, we see the difference that a day makes. For the Bible reminds us, of course, not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And so coming from chapter 18 into chapter 19, we see the reality of this playing out in the life of Elijah the prophet. For from the mountaintop, he goes to the valley experience. From the greatest victory he and the nation of Israel have perhaps ever seen, ever witnessed, ever been a part of, he now plumbs to perhaps the greatest defeat. Reminds us how even the great men of the Bible go through battles like we do. James reminds us that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And surely as we come to consider all that chapter 19 portrays to us, we identify the reality of that. Here was one who knew highs. Here was one who experienced lows. Here was one who not only saw great victories, but one who tasted great defeat. And the Bible reminds us here that in verse 4, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And from what the Bible informs us here, we know that Elijah went south. And as he goes south into the wilderness, he goes to a place that God had commanded his people not to go, not to return to. But nevertheless, here he is. And sitting under a juniper tree requesting to die. Now, we don't expect this from a man who had just experienced the blessing of God as he did in chapter 18. We don't expect this from one who had prayed down fire from heaven. But nevertheless, the word of God is very clear, for he says at the end of verse 4, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." Here's a man in great despair. Here's a man who truly knows the bitter experience of all that has occurred, being snatched away. The blessing and the benefit of all the good of the day that has passed into God's eternity, gone in a moment, now face to face with the grim reality of who he truly was. It's interesting to note there in the verse 4, these words, "a day's journey." That denotes to us the time period that has passed in the life of Elijah. But it also denotes to us the distance that he has traversed from the Mount Carmel, the location that he was found in, to where he now sits under this juniper tree in the wilderness. You and I know what it is to take journeys very often in our lives. We've taken journeys that are short in nature. Some, if not all of us, have taken journeys which are longer by nature. But we all know that we set out from one location, we arrive at another. The time has passed, the miles have been clocked up, and you and I can accurately record the distance that's traveled, the time that has passed. Nevertheless, the Bible here denotes it simply as a day's journey. Tonight, I believe there is great significance in that phrase. For as we gather together, we are on a journey in each and every one of our lives. And that journey begins at the very moment that we awaken in this world and breathe our first breath, for that is denoted to us as the first day of our lives. The birthday that we all celebrate on a yearly basis. Yes, life has existed long before this day, but our birthday truly marks the beginning of our earthly journey. The end of our journey will be whenever we stand face to face with Christ. For the believer, that is, of course, at the Bema Seat. For the unbeliever, that's at the great white throne. But nevertheless, in each of our lives, there is that beginning of the journey of life, and there is, in God's calendar, marked the very end of the journey of life. And yes, you and I can enter into the good of all that we read in the life of Elijah, and we can read that statement where God says he went a day's journey, but here we are on our very own journey, passing through this world, headed to the next. This journey is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Perhaps it's true that somewhere along life's journey, you yourself are found under a juniper tree, just as Elijah was. You yourself have got to that point where you say, just like Elijah did, it is enough. You're dealing with burdens. You're dealing with heartache and trouble. You're sat down somewhere in the journey of life and you've said to God, it's enough. I can't take any more. I can't live like this any longer. I can't go on any further. It's enough. The still small voice of God reminds each and every one of us, you're right. Because the journey is too great for thee. That's exactly what the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah at the end of verse 7. The journey is too great for thee, O great man of God. And if a man who took a day's journey from his greatest victory to what we could possibly argue as being the moment of his greatest defeat, the lessons that we can learn in the one day of this man's life can be relevant in any way to us, then I believe they're relevant because they're all entwined within that phrase, a day's journey. What we know about Elijah's life and that one day that he traveled that correlates into your life and to mine is firstly that the journey always has detours. I don't know about you, but I hate it whenever I see a diversion sign upon the route that I'm traveling. You're traveling from one place to another. You have your time set aside. You have your route all mapped out. And then suddenly, unexpectedly, you're turned about. The path that you had chosen was no longer available. And so you have to take that detour that's been planned by another. Time is added. That's just like some of our lives. We know what it is to map out our lives day by day, to have our plans put in place, to have that which we are working toward very much in view. We know where we're headed. We know where we currently are. But very often in life, we come across the detours that God places in our path. Elijah never intended to be in Beersheba as he stood in Mount Carmel in chapter 18. But here he's found in the wilderness. But despite the detour that he found himself on in this day's journey that he took into the wilderness, God was still at work in his life. And despite the low even point that he reached in his very own life's experience, God was still at work. And this wasn't an inconvenience. This was a divine appointment. And you may be here tonight and you may identify with Elijah because you yourself had your life all mapped out. You had that which you were working toward, your goals and objectives to achieve. But as you look back upon the days which you have lived in life already, you identify the many detours that God has placed upon your life. Very often we're prone to lament and to mourn those things that don't quite work out the way that we hoped that they would. We lament and we mourn even those opportunities that seem to go and bypass us. But nevertheless, as we survey our lives, understand that yes, whilst it may have been inconvenient to us, those moments are but God's divine appointments to us. And here you are, and gathered in another gospel service where the Word of God is being opened and where the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. And here you are on life's journey, making your way from the day of your birth to the day that you stand before Christ. And in your path, God has placed once more an appointment with truth. Life is full of delays, it's full of disappointments, it's full of discouragements, it's full of many things to deal with. And yes, we can say, why on earth are all these detours happening and occurring in my life? But God is simply reminding us one and all that we are not masters of our own destiny. And yes, the reality is the journey of life is too great for us. We often read chapter 18 and see the big battle. The forces of wickedness, the forces of evil, all lined up against Elijah, and there he is, all on his own, proclaiming his allegiance, proclaiming his unwavering faith in a God who answers by fire. And then we see the great victory that God brings about, for there before the very eyes of those who were once mocking, who just moments ago were deriding the very God whom Elijah claimed to have faith and confidence in. There before their very eyes, God brings down fire, testifying to one and all with the greatness of his might. In the Bible, we are reminded so often that real battles come after real victories. The greatest battles that we come to in life are not fought with the forces of evil. They're fought with ourselves. They're fought overcoming those things that we place into our own lives. Those ideologies that we build our lives upon. Those thoughts that we seek to implement in our own way and seek to engineer our own path. Those tests that we apply even to our own reasoning. But God reminds us so often in Scripture. God reminds us so often in our own pathway of life that the journey is too great for us. And yes, we may have much that we want to achieve, and yes, we have many stops in the journey that we have mapped out for ourselves, but all along God is reminding us in the detours of life, that it's not our way, but it's truly His that matters. And so the journey always has detours, but secondly, the journey is measured in days. We see this referred to in the verse 4, as we've already mentioned, He Himself went a day's journey. Then it tells us in the verse 8, He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. See, God doesn't measure our journey in miles or minutes. He measures it in days. And He always reminds us, one and all, in His Word, that we don't have a day to waste. 29,638 days is the average lifespan of an adult in the United Kingdom. And what's true about us all tonight is that we can figure out how many of those days we have already lived. How many of those days that are the average lifespan of the average adult in this country, you and I have enjoyed and experienced the good of this land. But what none of us can figure out, what none of us can truly estimate, is how many days we have left. Every day that God grants to us in this journey of life is an opportunity to know and to experience and to enjoy His love and His grace. But more than all of the daily benefits and blessings that He provides each and every one of us with, every day that He gives us here in life is an opportunity to settle once and for all the question
of our eternal destiny. You see, Elijah was one who was called of God, commissioned of God, commanded of God. He was one who knew the blessing of God. He was one who was in a good relationship with God prior to all that we read off here in chapter 19. And for him, the matter of his allegiance to the one true and the living God was a settled matter. But for some tonight, that is far from true. It's not the reality that in your life you've come to understand more about God, more about his word, more about the way, the only way of salvation that he has identified in his word. You're here tonight and you're so far along in your journey of life. You're able to estimate, you're able to accurately count up the days that you've lived already, but yet tonight the great question of your soul is still in the balance, for here you are, not knowing fully if yours will be the opportunity to live another day here on earth. All of this against a reality that is not well. The last 24 hours, I have lost two people who I would have counted as friends. A phone call yesterday morning alerted me to the passing of a man who I held in high regard, I had the opportunity to work with in the past. A phone call just after the service this morning alerted me to the passing of a figure who's mentioned in the news broadcast tonight. All of them gone long before 29,638 days. Now for them it was well. But what would it be for you tonight if the days of your life were numbered and you yourself have no more days to live? You see, Elijah could say, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." And yes, he was in the midst of a deep spiritual depression. But the reality is that he knew who his God was. But for some amongst us tonight, you could be living your very last day on earth with no identity in Christ, with no testimony that you knew Christ. Tonight, the days of your life are numbered, and you're still outside of Christ. God, by his grace, has given you this divine appointment once more. We're found under the sound of his word. You have been reminded that you're not in control of your life, that your days are numbered, that the journey of life is too great for thee. What will you do with Christ? The journey has detours. The journey is measured in days. The journey requires direction. The Bible reminds us here that as he arose, he went then forth on the word of the Lord to a mount called Horeb. And God sent him 150 miles from where he was in Beersheba to where this Mount Horeb was located. What's interesting to note is that he went in the strength of one male for 40 days and 40 nights. Only three men in Scripture have successfully accomplished that according to the record of our Bibles: Moses, Elijah, and Christ. All three were there together in the Mount of Transfiguration. All three knew what it was to go in the strength of the Lord. But as he comes to this mountain, as God is seeking once more to get the attention of his servant, the word of the Lord comes unto him at the end of verse 9, and it says, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Then in the verse 15, it says, "Go, return on thy way." So after bringing him a distance of 150 miles, after being found in this mountain by the name of Horeb, then God turns him right round about, and he was sent back to the very place that he came from. All at the direction of the Lord. But what's important to note is that this was no longer a life that was being lived of his own accord. This was no longer a life in which he was choosing a destination. This was no longer a life in which he was seeking to accomplish his own end. No, this was a life in which God had complete control. So you find there in the Mount Horeb, the voice of the Lord comes unto him and says, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And then as the time passes, he says in verse 11, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And the Lord said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Very often in life, the detours of life allow the earthquake, the fire, and the wind to enter in. And very often it's God that's using these things to shake us. It's God that's using these things to draw us out after him. It's God that's preparing that ground even for that still small voice to enter in. But all along, God is seeking to direct us. God is seeking to override and overrule our own desires and our own objectives and our own plans. And God is seeking to get our attention. And tonight, if you are here outside of Christ, then listen to the still small voice that says, "What doest thou here?" You're far from the place that God has called you to be. Elijah is now 150 miles from that place where God had called him to minister, where God had called him to be a witness. And here tonight, if you're outside of Christ, you are far from the shepherd's tender loving care. You're far from the safety and from the protection that is afforded in Christ. And just like God had to use these things in Elijah's life to reassume that control that was needed to get him back to that place where he could be of use to the Lord, so too, whenever it comes to our lives, God uses things to get our attention so that we hear that voice and we understand that we are far away from the place that he desires us to be. Tonight you're outside of Christ and he's beckoning to you. He's using, yes, the winds and the fires and the earthquakes of life, but through it all, it's that still small voice that knocks at the heart's door, and night after night, time after time, it's that which pleads with you and says, "What doest thou here? Why are you still outside of the camp? Why are you still outside of the fold? Why are you still in that place where you're under that sentence of condemnation and wrath? Why are you still far away?" What doest thou here? Through his word, the Lord is seeking to guide you. seeking to bring you to an end of yourself so he can bring you to himself. Seeking to get you to that point that he got Elijah to. The journey is too great for me. But in Christ, there's one who's greater than the journey. Seeking to direct you into that path that will lead you to the cross. Lead you to the arms that are outstretched with love. Lead you into the Father's embrace. The journey is detours. The journey is measured in days. The journey requires direction. The journey always has a destination. To know Elijah's destination, we have to continue into 2 Kings. If we had the time, we'd turn to 2 Kings in chapter 2 and we'd read how he was taken up in a whirlwind. The destination is always up. For the believer, that is a reality. For those who are alive and remain, they shall be caught up to meet him in the air. For those who are dead before the Lord returns, then they shall rise first. The destination for the believer is always up. But friend, there is a destination for the unbeliever too. And that destination begins with that appointment that is unmissable, that's standing before him at the great white throne judgment. And that destination has a title: everlasting damnation. Because at that great white throne, whenever the books are open and in those books there's found no record of the name, then the words of the Lord are, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Into everlasting torment, where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, tonight you don't know the day of your death. But the reality is that tonight you know the destination after your death. Because the Word of God is abundantly clear. Heaven is a reward for the believer. Hell is a destination for the unbeliever. And so Elijah here learnt a very bitter lesson in life. A lesson that God is seeking to remind us all that the journey of life is too great for us. We're not masters of our own destiny. We're not in control of our own ship. God permits the detours and the tragedies and the devastations of life to enter in. The journey of our lives is numbered in days as God grants them to us, but there comes an end to the days that he will grant. And through it all, God is seeking to direct us in our pathway of life. Seeking to direct us into the good and the right way. But make no mistake about it, the journey has a destination. And what you do in response to that still, small voice tonight affects forever the eternal destiny of your soul. I pray that God will grant us all that deciding grace, and that ere we leave this building tonight,
that we will know that heaven is where we're headed. May God bless his word to your hearts tonight. We'll close in prayer just at this time and we'll forgo the last hymn. We pray that the Lord will speak on in each of our hearts. Father, we pray that thou wouldst bless us. We pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst speak to us through thy word. We pray, O Lord, that the still small voice would plead on in the hearts and lives of all those who are outside of thee. Help us all, believer and unbeliever alike, to understand and identify that the lesson learned from Elijah is applicable to all. The journey is too great for each one of us. But we pray, O God, that thou wouldst be pleased to make plain that pathway to the unbeliever tonight. That pathway that leads to heaven and to home. Depart us now with thy blessing, and in thy fear and favor ever keep us. We'll praise thee and we'll thank thee for all that thou wilt do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.